John, can you tell us a little bit about how you started off as a photographer?
I started off as a photographer. I suppose, really, when I was at art school, although I never studied photography, and it was just something that I think at the time I was interested in, you know, performance and the sort of early conceptual artworks, making mostly Super 8 and some 16mm films. And I kind of drifted into it really as something, you know, that I felt was a medium by which I could solve certain problems or certain issues. So I never thought of myself as a photographer at all at that stage.
That's interesting. Would you say that there are particular ideas or concerns that have recurred in your practice?
Well, I think so. I think one of the essential things that seems to have been lost somewhat in sort of current fine art thinking, at least, is the fact that large part of that early kind of conceptual art practice was about really not wanting to work within the conventional paradigm of fine art, you know, the gallery kind of system, basically. It was something which was about stepping outside of that, making work which wasn't saleable in a way. It was ideas-based. It was about a different kind of currency rather than the dictated by the sales market. And I think that photography really becomes a part of that, because at the time, and curiously enough now, this has been sort of reversed in some ways, but at the time, you know, that photography is fairly infinitely reproducible. It's a cheaply produced medium, very democratic in that sense, very available, and had all sorts of potential in terms of creating new audiences for the visual arts. And so that was kind of at the centre of it for me. It was very much about reproducibility, not producing, curiously enough, very valuable objects. And I was interested in you know, the ways that photography operated within a much broader kind of social context than something like painting, which is what I'd been interested in, really.
That's me. And do you think that's something that's still the case for a lot of practitioners today?
I think it, to a certain extent, it is, with some, although there have been schisms. And I think what's happened is that the fine art market, primarily through the Brit art practitioners of the sort of 80s and 90s, managed to kind of recreate a market for themselves and for their product. And I think that, you know, there's a large ideological shift that came along with Thatcherism to move, you know, art very centrally back into the marketplace. And so, you know, that has happened with photography. I mean, you know, one is advised these days to make sure that editions are limited in order to promote scarcity, which is the basis of the market economy for art, of course.
Mm.
So it's a perversion, in a way, of something that photography does, because photography now, as ever, you know, is reproducible. It doesn't have to be precious. You know, it, in a sense, to make it so, cuts against its nature.
Mm. So, thinking more about your own practice, are the particular ways in which you would describe yourself as a practitioner, how do you categorise what it is you do?
That's interesting, because I always find that, you know, I'm not really thought of as a fine artist by the fine artists, and not really thought of a photographer by the photographers. Mm-hmm. So it's a kind of in-between space somehow. But I've found that, generally speaking, I find that because I work in photography largely, you know, the interest for me has mostly been driven through photography, and I suppose by other photographers to a certain extent. Because that's where the debates are the most interesting, I think, and have been the most varied and exciting, I suppose.
Can you say a little bit more about the nature of your practice in those earlier years?
Well, at the time, I suppose I was mostly making some early video stuff, reel-to-reel video, which was, don't have any of that left, actually, but also working in film, and I think made a number of pieces, and one of my tutors at the time was John Hilliard, and he was very interesting because he was part of a debate around the emergence of photography within fine art, and I think the shift between the photograph being used as a means to document something else, i.e. a performance or a piece of sculpture or something like that, and becoming, you know, the focus of attention in its own right, so becoming an artwork in its own right. And I think that really me developing, or my development into photography, really was driven through that, you know, thinking, well, kind of cut out the middleman sort of idea and work with photography. And I think at that stage, I started to learn about photography because I had no clue about photography. Kind of people that I was interested in were visual art, or more sort of mainstream visual artists, I suppose, sort of art and language, people like that, or Joseph Kosuth, or Dan Graham, perhaps early, you know, performance artists. And my knowledge of photography was very, very limited, and it wasn't really until I'd left college and started to try and earn a living that I actually found photography a bit more, and realised, and this sounds so ludicrous now, but realised, of course, that it has its own particular history and of practitioners and also of ideas. And so, you know, I started to be more and more interested in that, I suppose.
Mm. When we think about your work, one of the things I think about is the sort of recurrent ideas around landscape and your sort of exploration of and different ways of you know, perhaps a very British thing, but this British preoccupation with landscape. Do you see yourself? Are there themes like that that are particularly important to you?
Well, curiously enough, it wasn't until I'd made a number of landscape pictures that it occurred to me that they were landscape pictures. So what I felt I was really doing, and I think it coincided with the fact that beginning to work in the north of England, and the pace of kind of social, political, economic change was very rapid at the time, and was very much about all of the things which had been so kind of certain, and the things which the region had been built on, the northeast region, which were shipbuilding, coal mining, those things, were all disappearing very quickly, and the social order was changing. And so I could see these things as evidenced all around me, I suppose, and I photographed some of them and started to make a kind of a personal commentary on them. Now, it was only, in a sense, once I got into that work a little bit, that I realised that the tradition that these images were working within actually belonged very much to a British tradition of painting. Mm-hmm. European, Northern European tradition. But that was something I learned afterwards. I think it was probably fair to say that my concerns at the time were more kind of cultural. They were political, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
Is this in the 1980s, are you talking?
Yes, in the 1980s. Yeah. So I think, you know, I'd moved out of that idea of making pictures that were about pictures to making pictures which were actually about something else, about things that surrounded me, about trying to get an idea of how to develop a commentary on the things that concern me outside of say photography or visual arts, but had to do with broader kind of social or cultural issues.
Mm. One of the aspects of your work that critics frequently identify is this really interesting use of text and language. Is that something that also just grew out of the practice, in a sense, grew out of the experimentation?
I think it did. I think that it comes from feeling that in some way photography is what I think of as its nature is that it's problematic. The nature of its realism is that it's problematic, and the nature of its representations are that they're problematic. So I think to think about it as a system of communication, it was quite interesting for me to bring another way of telling it into that mix, you know, which is why I started to work with text. The other reason for that was also that that some of that very early work was very specifically made for public context, you know, billboards, for example. And, you know, I very much admired as a strategy the Benson & Hedges adverts of the day and the way that they were able to suggest all of the things that they were able to suggest without including the product in any way, by alluding to all sorts of semiological devices, I suppose we describe them, to lead a public, which actually was very used to these very sophisticated images. And it's always seemed to me that photography works extremely well, if works is the right way, within a kind of public context, because there's such a broad... it's a curious thing, it's a very broad knowledge of photography, but it's also a very relatively unsophisticated knowledge of photography. But, you know, it's something that people are so used to surrounding them, that seemed to be an interesting kind of way to think about the idea of selling something which actually wasn't a product, but was maybe an idea or a thought or a you know, something which was a moment of congratulation or a way of apprehending the world that wasn't to do with all the systems that we're very familiar with.
If you were to think back on your career, or even what you're doing at the minute, is there anything particular that stands out for you as being something that you're especially proud of, or something that, or maybe the opposite, something that you didn't quite work out the way you wanted to?
I think, well, it all works out and none of it works out. You know, it's. I think you're always left in a position where you do what you do up to a certain point, and then you have to move on and do something else. But I think, you know, there's always a kind of a level of dissatisfaction, I suppose. I mean, it's, you know, it's a kind of self-criticism, I suppose, in terms of what you managed to achieve. For me, I suppose I remember thinking there was a point at which I could look back on work that I'd done and think, well, okay, you know, that was the very best I could have done at that point, and I felt that I'd resolved issues that I'd had for myself. So I think that, you know, that's something that kind of comes later on, really.
Mm. Can you tell us a little bit about what current projects you're working on, or what you're doing at the minute?
That's interesting, because I don't really like to talk about them very much, you know, because what I tend to do, I think, is to... anything I'm working on, I keep very much to myself in a way, and I only release it when I want to release it.
That's interesting. So is that something that you've always done? That's
yes, I think it is. I think it is. It's a kind of control, I suppose. But I did try something a little bit different this year in that I gave a talk, a university talk, and talked about some work in progress. And it was kind of interesting for me, but... I don't know whether it's a wise thing to do or not particularly, because some of it may come off and some of it may not, and often you don't really know until all the... Put it like this, there's an awful lot of work that I do and complete that never kind of will see the light of day, probably. And that's a lot of that circumstantial. Some of it is to do with, you know, where you can actually get this stuff out and made available. Lack of development sometimes. Other times, you know, you just kind of move on, and then you think, well, I've done that, why would I want to go back there? And because there's always something else to be getting on with.
Are there any particular kinds of output that you work towards or would prefer to work towards?
Well, I try to be quite flexible, really. I'm working on a little thing at the moment which will produce a publication, but I think it would only ever make an interesting publication. It wouldn't make a good exhibition, I don't think. A few things, actually. A couple of books and maybe an exhibition, but I try to keep it quite... I don't want to be tied down to any one kind of outcome, really. Mm. But I tend to think that the work that I make has different potentials for kind of reaching different audiences or operating within different contexts that keeps it fresh and interesting for me.
Yeah, the photographic world has changed enormously in the last years, the last decades or so. Has that had a huge impact on your practice?
Well, I suppose, you know, both as a photographer and as a teacher, you know, it's something that, you know, obviously one has to kind of look at and assess and kind of continually value and revalue as a practice. And of course it does, you know, I mean we're educating huge numbers of people in photography. There's only so much space. It's a very kind of competitive industry or activity, I should say, perhaps. And, you know, there are great gaps in provision for, you know, things like exhibition really and publication. Mm. Very difficult to kind of often bring things to that finishing point where they're resolved, you know.
Mm. And do you think that's just from a technical point of view that there are new challenges or new issues that are arisen?
I think there are. I mean, you know, for me, what happens is, and it's interesting being here, looking at the, you know, the quality of the images around the room and how they've changed over the years. But with new technology comes new possibilities. Other possibilities become reduced. But you know, again, both as a practitioner and as an educationalist, new technology creates new spaces and makes new emphases. And I've found, certainly, I mean, I've been working on kind of what I think of as sketchbook-type projects, which probably will never see the light of day, using digital cameras, which allow you to do things that you couldn't do before. Mm. So that's kind of interesting. And, of course, it the whole development of the educational curriculum as well is, you know, needs to respond really to new technology, and obviously we do that in part at the university that I work at. Mm.
So I suppose that there's a big question about really how the photographic landscape is changing, and what you think. Do you have any sense of, you know, possibilities for the future? Or?
Well, I think one of the things I've always felt about photography is that, because of its relationship to realism, I suppose, that it always has a kind of a reason to be there. And however you kind of stack it up and however you undermine the reality, for want of a better word, or the truth of the photographic image, it's something that we need. It's something that our culture kind of has built itself around in every sense. And I think, you know, it will always be there as a subject for analysis and future analysis, and thinking about in different ways. And I think, you know, we're only really beginning to think about some of the potential ways of using and developing photography. And I'm thinking about, you know, the way that it's very much used in social, political organisation these days, and on a personal level, social networking, you know, political networking, etc., etc. Those are things, you know, that, you know, at a fairly new stage, in a sense, and we're just beginning to, I think, understand some of those things and what they might mean to what it means to be a photographer or somebody that makes works of photography. And I think it's probably true to say that most of the works of photography that I've made over the year really are about, you know, they're about a legacy that exists through other fine art medium, such as painting, rather than a kind of something which is perhaps more exclusively photographic. So I think there will be a shift in that framework as a way of looking at photography.
So you definitely see the possibilities for those links and crossovers with other art forms and other media.
Yes, I do. I think that, you know, when Maholi Nash talked about the illiterates of the future being those that are illiterate in terms of the photographic image, I think that was a very prescient observation, because I think that, and I'm very impressed by the description of photography as a kind of ecology, which envelops us in a way, much like the sort of biosphere envelops us. There's something that affects every part of our lives, but we don't always see quite how it affects us.
As a practitioner, how would you describe something about your working processes? I mean, how does a project kick off? How does it get going? Or is that too difficult?
That's very interesting. Well, I suppose the reality is that things come from different sources, and sometimes they're unexpected. And I've done quite a lot of things where I've worked with other people, quite enjoyed that. But also, I can think of lots of occasions where I've made a virtue of it, really, once I've understood this process, have gone into any project not really knowing quite what's going to come out of it. Mm. Now, one of the great virtues for me of working in education, apart from the kind of stimulation that comes through that and working within a subject that one cares for, is the fact that the work that I've, or the projects that I've worked on, and often the financing that's come with them, I've been able to be quite selective about them. So I haven't had to chase money, really, which is, you know, a big problem, I think, with lots of photographers in that if you're chasing money all the time, you're having to produce a certain kind of product in order to do that. Whereas I've chosen projects which I think are interesting. For example, the last one that I'm still working on is working within Cumbria Council. Now, I'm hoping to produce a book, although I'm still struggling with some of the details of it. And because it's turned out in a way that I never thought it would, what I want to now do with it isn't what I started off thinking I would want to do with it. So that kind of, you know, keeps it interesting for me. Mm-hmm. And I feel at least I'm in charge of that. And therefore it's worthwhile. And the process of making anything, and I think this is true of photography as it is of painting, that the process of making a work of photography, is a very creative one. And, you know, it creates its own kind of reflection and reaction, I think. So, you know, that's continually interesting.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that you know, do you see most of your projects as discrete, or do the projects sort of feed into each other? Is it a kind of, you know, building up from one project to the next project, does it vary? Is everything discrete?
I think it's a kind of mazy dribble. Yes, everything does feed into each other. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, I think sometimes it's nice to do things, try things out and see where they go. And, I do that. I'm working probably on, at the moment, maybe four projects. And I don't know what's going to happen with any of them, really, whether they'll end up as discrete projects or might be dropped, or some might be incorporated into other things, or... Mm. Until I put them together, really, I won't totally be sure about, how successful I feel they've been. Mm. I do tend to do quite a lot of things at the same time, you know, and think about things that try and keep all the balls in the air at one time, which doesn't... makes me pretty chaotic, I suppose.
That's really interesting. I'm sure lots of us all... recognise that. thank you very much.
Thank you.